Lord, we thank you again for the written word. But Lord, we do pray now as we come to look at it, Lord, that you would lead us to the living word, to Jesus himself. Amen. Do take a seat. It's probably worth having your Bibles open at that Hebrews passage that we just had. So it's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It's on page 243 in your New Testament. I should also say, it's lovely to see you all. It's nice to be back. I should have said that yesterday, actually, the weekend away. I realised afterwards that I hadn't said that. Although that was largely the 11 o'clock congregation, so maybe it's not as good as, I don't know. Joke. Okay, don't anyone get anything? I want us to think a bit about our mobile phones. I quite like my mobile phone. I like it that I can text, I can email, I can read the internet, and I can have a phone call with it as well. It's a good thing to have. It's a useful thing to have. And I find myself checking it throughout the day, at the moment, seeing if Everton have actually bought any players. I'm also very good. I have two mobile phones. I have my work one, which I can check all my emails and things on, and I have my home one, which basically people from work don't know the number to. And so it does mean on a day off, I can leave my work alone. I can just put it down to one side. So I like my mobiles. I think they're really useful things to have. However, I get really fed up of people with mobile phones. I'm seeing a few nods already. You're probably thinking some of the things I am. For instance, when I do the school run, which I do at least once a week, or usually a couple of times a week, it really annoys me when I see parents walking along, looking at their phone or ringing somebody else whilst they're with their children. They're about to drop them off at school for the day. You almost want to shout to them, "Hey, put your phone down! What are you saying to your kid at the moment?" I never do, but I kind of want to say that. Oh, it really winds me up. Another thing, what about those people, and you'll all know this, who walk along looking at their phones like this? They're not looking where they're going, they're looking at the phone, aren't they? And they're walking straight at you. And I'm the one who then has to dodge out of their way because they're not looking where they're going. I do sometimes think it'd be great to just keep on going and just to see what would happen. Mobile phones can be great things. But it's really important that we look where we're going. It's really important that we look where we're going, because where we are looking matters a lot. Yesterday in our weekend, we were reflecting on how we need to listen to Jesus and how we need to consider the things that he says. This morning, we're thinking about how we need to look to Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus. Because where we're looking matters a lot. The text begins with a therefore. And throughout Hebrews, there are many therefores that link one passage with the next, with the next, with the next. And this passage links us back with Hebrews chapter 11, which is, of course, one of the great chapters of the Bible, talking of so many heroes of faith. And we see that things went well for some of them, and they were able to do extraordinary things. But things, you could still say went well because they remained faithful, but many people of faith had such a rough time. If you read through that list, some of them were sawn in two, and those kind of things. It's not exactly a nice day. And then, having read that list, we arrive at chapter 12, and we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Okay, so let's just pause. We're thinking about the people of faith surrounding us as the people of God. But what is the picture? Why are they doing that? Well, again, the answer is found in the second part of verse 1. "Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." Let us run the race. The picture is of an ancient Greek athletics, maybe something like the old Olympic Games. So imagine an Olympic stadium with a cloud of witnesses watching the races as they take place. And imagine that this cloud of witnesses are cheering us on. They're cheering those who've hung on there in the faith, regardless of the circumstances they've faced. They're cheering us on. Hey, I did it. I got to the end. You can do it as well. They're the spectators. And they are a witness to us from their own lives. And we can read of their lives in the scriptures. So imagine Moses. Moses is there at the side saying, hey, I saw God lead us through the Red Sea. I've seen him do amazing things. He can help you as well. Or imagine people like David, who, let's be honest, messed it up quite a few times, didn't he? Hey, I'm a terrible sinner, but you know what? If you're thinking you're pretty rubbish, God got me to the end. He'll get you to the end too. And they're cheering us on. A cloud of witnesses witnessing to us about the faithfulness of God and the grace of God in enabling his people to finish the race. And in this race, there's a picture then of the runner throwing aside everything that might slow him down or prevent him from getting to the finish line. In the ancient Greek games, athletes ran naked, literally throwing and casting aside everything that might hinder them. I'm not suggesting that we do that today, just to stop any fears that may arise. But the writer of Hebrews is using this as an illustration to say, look, we need to throw aside, get rid of everything that might cause us a distraction in this race of faith. We want to finish our race well, don't we? We want to get to the finish line like the people listed in chapter 11. So what do we need to throw aside? Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. I wonder, how do you decide whether something is good to do or not? You know, do we believe that as Christian people we should do everything that we can not to sin? Well, yes, I hope we do. You know, we should do everything that we can to not sin. But do we need to do more than that? Let me give you a practical example, and it's a practical example of the television. Rosemary and I don't watch a huge amount of TV, although there are certain programs, probably like in your house, that we like to have on in our house. And sometimes those things may have themes which you think, well, it's not overly Christian, but the broadcaster, of course, is making a program for the whole nation. And you find yourself just being slightly conscious of the things, you know, that you're watching and you're taking on board. We also quite like murders. So Friday night is murder night in our house. Yeah, we do like a good murder. And generally, those programs are pretty harmless, aren't they? So if you watch Sherlock or something like that, fantastic programs to watch, or NCIS, love them. But there are times when we become conscious, actually, we need a bit of a break from it. There's nothing wrong with watching those programs. There's nothing sinful about it. But somehow, some of the themes, they just get into your head a bit, don't they? And you know, you go to sleep at night and suddenly you're thinking about someone stabbing somebody or whatever else. You think, that's just not healthy. That's just not a good thing. It's not a sinful thing, but it's certainly a weight. It's something that can just start to distract the way that we're thinking. You know, Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians 4, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Or, on the other hand, the writer of the Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. So definitely lay aside sin, but also anything else that might just stop us running this race of faith well. Let's lay these things aside. Does it help me to run? If the answer is no, then let's put it down. And there's many weights, I'm sure, and sins that we could lay aside. But the writer carried on. So let's lay these things aside, running this race, looking to Jesus. If you don't go away with anything else, just go away with those three words, looking to Jesus. Because in this picture of an Olympic-type race, it's helpful to look to Jesus. And why is that? I started running when we moved house to All Hallows. I suddenly realised that I was actually working on the same plot that I was living, and I thought, I'm going to be in trouble here. I am going to have to get some kind of exercise. So I picked up running. And some of you, whether you run now or maybe you did earlier in life, you will know this this picture well. If I'm ever running along the road and I start to look at the side or something that's going on over there, I tend to veer off. You know, I don't run straight. Does anybody else have this experience? You maybe have this experience walking. If you don't look where you're going, you suddenly find yourself walking into the road or something, or a lamppost. That's always funny to watch. But you just end up heading off in the wrong direction. You go a bit wonky. You fall over. So why is it helpful to look at Jesus? Because if we're kind of looking at Jesus, aren't we going to go wonky and fall over? Well, no. Because Jesus isn't in the stands with Moses and all the other people who are cheering us on. Jesus is at the finish line. He's at the place where we're going. And he's already won the race. He's there. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, a bit like a horse with blinkers. You know, you can't see everything else going on all round. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. He's already finished the race. He's won it. He's already there. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And to explain this a little further, the writer uses a technical term, the pioneer and the perfecter of the faith, which is applicable and useful if you know a little bit about the Roman armies. If you don't, I'm going to tell you, so it's all okay, so it's all fine. The pioneers and the perfecters had an important job to do when the army was moving from A to B. And in a Roman army, you'd have lots of different bits of the army, and they would all have different jobs to do. But the pioneers went ahead, and they looked ahead to see what's the route we're going to take. How do we get from A to B? And what machinery have we got behind us? So do we need to build any bridges, or do we need to avoid any rivers, and all those kind of things? So they plotted the route, and they worked out how the army was going to get there. They were the forerunners. Jesus is the pioneer of our faith. He's gone before us. He's worked out the pathway to where our faith leads and what was required to get us there. He's done everything necessary to get us there. Now, how did he do that? He endured the cross. He endured the cross. Every bridge that was necessary for us to cross over to get to the finish line of faith and to be with God, he endured the cross. He made the way straight. He made the pathway possible. Remember that passage we just had from John chapter 14, what Jesus said to Thomas and the other disciples? Thomas said, I don't even know where you're going, so how can I possibly know how to get there? And Jesus says, I am the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. He's the path. He's the bridge. He does all those things. He is the pioneer of our faith. But he's also the perfecter of our faith. And here he deals with other distractions that could otherwise hinder us in running the race. The perfecter for the Roman armies, these are the ones who went behind everybody else. So the pioneers have gone ahead. The armies are kind of moving along and marching and doing whatever they're doing. And then the perfecters are the guys who follow on. And what they basically do is they pick up all the rubbish. So it makes it, A, harder to track the army. And B, if they've dropped any tools or anything like that in the way, they can pick up all those things and then take them on, you know, when they catch up with everybody else later. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. He deals with our mess. He picks it up for us. He deals with our sin. He sweeps up after us. And he makes sure that our mistakes don't in any way hinder God's big plans and purposes. And so as we run this race of faith, we don't need to be constantly looking behind us. You know, what have I left behind? What carnage is there because of the things I've done? What sin have I left behind? What have I done because of my sin? We don't need to worry about those things, because Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. Consider him, consider Jesus, who endured such hostility, this is verse 3, against himself from sinners. Consider him so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Consider Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And all these other distractions are irrelevant when you keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Yesterday we saw how the writer compels his readers to listen to Jesus, and having listened, to contemplate the things that he said. And these are good things, and they're important things that we all need for salvation and for discipleship. But today we're compelled to look to Jesus, to look to the one who has gone before us, to look to the one who enabled and equipped the great cloud of witnesses to finish their race of faith. We look to the one who makes it possible for us to finish our race of faith because he endured the cross. We look to the one who deals with our mess and sweeps up after us. We look to Jesus, directly at Jesus, who's there at the finishing line, cheering us on. Let's pray. Lord, it's great to know that there are others who cheer us on in our faith, but it's amazing to know that you do. Lord, it's so liberating, it's so life-transforming to know that you've gone before us and you're cheering us on. Lord, you want us to come home and you cheer us in the right way. Oh, please help us to be a people who look to the things that you say, who look to your scriptures, Lord, to all those things which are good and edifying and helpful, and those things which strengthen us in this race of faith. And Lord, help us also to be people who put aside those weights and those sins that drag us down. Lord, please keep our eyes focused on you, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.